Please join with me in a brief prayer. Let us pray. Into our darkness, send your light, eternal Spirit. Open our eyes that we may see you shining among us in the world today. Open our ears that we may hear you speak among all our faltering words and among the words of Scripture, that hearing and seeing, we may rise up and follow your way to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The first reading this morning comes from the letter to Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Listen now to the word of our Lord. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Our second reading is just one verse from Luke 22:19. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." May the Lord bless to our understanding the readings of his holy word. There's a poem I'd like to start with from Annie Johnson Flint. It says, "God hath not promised skies ever blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised skies without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love." Today, as we are remembering, this whole service is the 10th anniversary of 9/11. It is really difficult for me to consider the wealth of emotions that we conjure up in remembering such a morning. I am certain that each, if I were to ask you, could say exactly where you were and what was happening. I was on my way to a staff meeting at my church in Boca where I was serving, and I was listening to the radio, as I often do, because I used to be a radio DJ and I like to support the radio industry, so I'm not a CD person in my car, I'm a radio person. And so I was listening to the radio, and all of a sudden there was like this major interruption, you know, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh." I mean, all the radio announcers who are normally very calm, you know, and peaceful, were kind of freaking out. And they said, we think that a plane has hit one of the World Trade Center buildings, and we're not certain, but that's the report, and we're thinking it. And I'm driving in my car, and I'm like, what? you know, I felt like we were sort of in a movie where, you know, somebody had broken into the radio system and was like, you know, telling a lie or a story that couldn't possibly be real. You know, I was just all shaken up. And so I ran from my car into the church and you know, I asked my other, you know, pastors and my other staff, you know, what's going on? What's going on? And they were all standing in a circle in front of the TV in my head of staff's office, and tears were running down their face. And as we were watching the TV, the other plane came along and hit the other building. We watched it live, hit the other building. And I remember to myself, I just felt this sinking, amazing sensation of loss and terror and fear. I mean, it consumed me. And I think for the next 2 weeks, I probably didn't sleep more than like 3 hours a night. I was watching the TV. You know, I kept hoping that maybe I'd wake up and it would be a terrible nightmare, and it never happened, right? I mean, and my friends at the church wanted me to drive with them to New York and take supplies and help rescue. And that was the most devastating. I don't know about you, but I remember looking at the TV thinking, they're going to find the people. They're going to find the kids that were in the daycare center down at the bottom. They're going to find the people. The rescuers are going to find the people. And they didn't find but a few. I remember my mom, when I was young, used to say that she knew exactly where she was the morning that John F. Kennedy Jr. was shot. And she remembered the same similar sense of loss and devastation and terror, because the nation that she felt was her peaceful residence had killed her president, who was beloved by so many and working for peace and trying to conquer all that was evil. I've prayed this few weeks that the Lord would tell me exactly what to say to you this morning, so that I might address the horror and the heritage with a consoling or comforting word. I think now it might have been easier to pick a passage of scripture that was in the lectionary list, and, you know, I could have told you some joy about Noah and the ark and the animals, and, you know, maybe I could have told you about, you know, Mary and Martha and what great sisters they were, right? I mean, just avoided this whole topic. Wouldn't that have been easier if I had just kind of said, no, you know, we're not going to address this. It's really not a message that I can give. It's nothing I can say. But there is something to say. Scripture from the beginning of time, as a gift from God, says that it is very important, even if it is painful, to remember. It is an act that is given to us by God and is a repetitious act that we must confirm to do. We must remember. And you'll know the slogan that everybody put up everywhere, all over New York, was, We will never forget. Which means we will always remember. And so, as much as I would like to run away from the depth of this sermon and what I really need to talk about with you, I cannot. In the Old Testament, one of the prophets, Jeremiah, says, you know, my friends are not really my friends, and my family doesn't understand why I'm in ministry, and, you know, I'm just kind of done talking about God and all the things of God. I'm just done. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And, you know, he just kind of gives up. But then there's this burning in his heart, a burning. And he says, even though I really want to be quiet, I cannot not talk about God. Let us turn for a second to our Philippians passage. It's beautiful, really. The whole book and letter of the Philippians is a joyful book, which you may find kind of drastically different from the emotions you feel of 9/11 as the choice for the passage this morning. But I will tell you that there's a line in here, a verse in here that I love. It says, verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Repeat that with me. I thank my God every time I remember you. Are you thankful to God when you remember? I think there are three things we can take away this morning from what God has put on my heart. The first is that we remember those who are gone. Right? Remember the military who passed away. We remember all of those who died at 9/11. We remember those who helped us that are no longer here. We remember all of those who we wish were still with us. And, you know, there's a beautiful part of the Old Testament, which I don't know if you're aware of, but it says that when they didn't really understand heaven yet, because, you know, it's the Old Testament, when they talked about what it was like to be no longer alive, they talked about remembering, because that would be how you would live on, is if someone remembered you, right? And so the Old Testament concept of eternity that was not yet fully understood by those who were in the Old Testament until the New Testament, until Christ came, was that we would be remembered in death. There's a pastor at Myers Park United Methodist in Charlotte, North Carolina, who wrote a blog about 9/11. And he says, a steady stream of people with crazed mix of emotions, numb, panicky, teary, enraged, and confused, knowing not what else to do, showed up at churches like mine. And we had packed sanctuaries like days after 9/11, like people just praying and looking for some sort of message of hope. And now 10 years have gone by, and what has changed and what is different, he writes. And he said, I still feel a deep sadness, and I know precisely where I was when I heard the news, and I felt helpless and utterly devastated. I couldn't sleep, he writes. I spent the wee hours in my children's rooms watching them sleep, grieving that they would grow up in such a violent world, praying for children I did not know by name whose parents had died. And then I remember 10 years ago the pride that swelled within me when our nation and our world reached out to those who had lost. Saddam and Osama are dead, but evil and violence still stalk the earth, he writes. The troubles of the world are so overwhelming we feel impotent and don't trust anybody anymore. And perhaps we are less willing than ever to ask hard moral questions. And we may be meaner than we were 10 years ago. But I think if we are, it is because we are scared. How we can conquer our fear is to trust that God is with us under all circumstances, right? That even in the wake of evil, even in the wake of everything we do not understand, God is still there. And what he calls us to do is remember him. In the Old Testament, when they escaped from slavery in Egypt and they were in the wilderness, they were called to remember that the Lord rescued them from slavery. And that was how they remembered their God. We are called to remember Jesus Christ. I move on to point two. We don't only remember those who are gone, but we also remember those who are here. As it says in Philippians, I remember you with thanksgiving every time your name comes upon my heart. So even though we also remember those who are lost, we also remember those who are living. My dad, when he was called from Pittsburgh to a church in Fort Lauderdale, met with his mentor of many, many years, and he went to lunch with him. And his name was Mr. Ketchum. And they sat down over lunch, and Mr. Ketchum said to my dad, you know, I really hope you do very well in your new ministry and in your new context, and I wish you all of God's blessings in Florida, but I have a favor to ask of you. And my dad said, sure, you know, what do you need? What can I do for you? Anything. You know, you've been everything to me. You're my mentor. And Mr. Ketchum said, Can you remember me every once in a while? Can you think back on a good time we had together, or a kind word I said, or an experience we had? I mean, can you not forget me? Please? And I'm sure that we hear the same call from our soldiers who are serving, for those who are in the hospitals who are in difficult times, for those who are our friends who had to move away for work or floods or whatever else is happening. And so we remember those who need our love. And we remember them with thanksgiving. And the third point today, which I know I'm already late, is that we remember Jesus Christ, right? In the Psalms and in the prophets, they all call out to remember what God has done for us. And I ask you, how could we ever forget what God has done for us? What Christ has done for us? Whenever I sing the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," I remember that even when I was not able to be faithful, God was faithful to me. God is ever faithful in the Old Testament and the New. And as you heard from our very brief passage from Luke, our Jesus commands us to do only a few things. And I think of Mr. Ketchum talking to my dad, right? I think of Jesus talking to you, saying, do this in remembrance of me. He doesn't want you to forget him. He doesn't want you to get too busy or too wrapped up or too depressed or too sad or too overcome or too overwhelmed to forget him. Remember him. For now and forevermore. Amen.